Hello, welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. My walls in the apartment are starting to echo because I have nothing hanging on the walls, which is actually a big deal for me because my walls have a lot of art, a lot of it that I've painted, and just I like art. Everything's empty, things are starting to echo, but the whole apartment is filled with boxes everywhere. And you're thinking, wait, didn't I start like a month ago? Yes, I did. I started to pack a month ago because I don't like the stress of having to do everything in a few days. So I prefer to pack things slowly and live with boxes. Okay, no one likes to live with boxes, but I'd rather the slow packing than the pressure of having to do everything very quickly. You might think that's okay to do everything quickly, but when you have a lot of things, like I do, it takes a lot of time. When you're still working full time at the same time, I'm still going to body pump and swimming and then planning to go all these doctor's visits so I can use my insurance. There was a lot going on at the same time. And one day last week, I actually got very overwhelmed because right now I feel like I'm in limbo. Like I have one more week left of work. And then after that, it's like this weird feeling. It feels a bit surreal. I know I've only worked at this hotel for 2 years, but it has felt a lot longer. I don't know why. I guess it's just sometimes there'll be moments where there's not too much going on, and then everything will come together and it'll be a lot. It just feels like the time that I've been there has been longer. And because if you work in a hotel, you're literally just working for the hotel in all aspects. A hotel is 24/7. There's always something to do. So I'm always getting contacted, always getting messaged, and that's just how it is. I was thinking my last day is next Wednesday, and then after that, if someone messages me, I don't have to respond. I don't have to respond, and it's like this really good feeling for me. I'm really excited, you know, because after next week, I don't get paid, so I don't have to respond anymore. That's it. Like, you know, figure it out. I'm taking my cookbook. I'm taking my binder. Figure it out. That's all I have to say. I was overwhelmed last week because right now I feel in between these stages. You know, I'm ending work here. I'm packing everything here. Gary's coming. He's helping me move. And we're driving to California in a U-Haul. And I get it. I get just how much work goes into all this moving stuff because I've been packing boxes. And it's so much work. It's just so much work. And then you have to unpack it, you know, which is, I guess, more fun than boxing everything. But I get why people will hire movers because it's just such a pain, you know, and then it hurts your back and oh my God, I'm getting older. But I can't afford a mover. And that's a waste of money to me at this point, you know, maybe when I can't move at all physically, that's when I'd get a mover. But I think if I'm at that stage, I probably wouldn't be moving. So yes, I was feeling overwhelmed last week. On top of that, I felt that I should have some idea of what I'll be doing job-wise when I get to California, you know, but everything's long distance. So at this point, it can be a bit challenging finding something. And also, I've never been in that point myself, just moving somewhere without having something set up. So I applied at this, it's called Remote Tasks. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but you work remotely. They have all kinds of jobs and you work remotely at home. I didn't know what it was for, but it said they were looking for German English speakers, which is me. So I'm like, oh, I can make money off of that. Why not? I do the interview and everything's online. It asks you questions in English, and I have to respond in German. They record me, basically, so I don't cheat, I don't know, so that they know I can actually speak German. And I was nervous beforehand. What if the questions are hard? What if they're, you know, there's different types of German, right? Just like there's different types of English. What I mean is, there's formal English. Like if I get a letter from the court, it's different wording than it would be conversational, you know? So same in German, the like court language, the formal language is very complicated. I don't even understand what's going on. Like same when in English, if there's a contract, everything's like different wording and you're reading it thinking, okay, I don't even understand what's happening here. So it's the same in German. And I was worried that it would be that type of German, but it wasn't. It was conversational. So the interview went well. They said I passed. I passed the interview. And then I did this training. Meanwhile, I'm working like, you know, 10-hour days. I get home and then I'm like, oh, let me do this training. So that way, when I get to California, I can just do this. And this can be some source of money, right? Better than not having anything. So I do this training at like 11 p.m. after work. And it's like an hour long. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. But let me just do this. You know, this is what I do. Like, I know I'm tired, but I think of what is practical. If I do this now, it'll be done, you know? And I don't listen to myself. I should have just been like, no, I'm tired. Let me just rest. But then there was no time to do this another time. So I did it. And it turns out it's training for AI. When you Google something, when you want to find something like an answer for it in Google, you put in a sentence, maybe, and it comes up with what you're looking for. So it's the same in every language, right? Like there's a German Google, there's a French Google, and it's the same just as in English, just in different languages. So they're looking for German speakers that can translate English. And basically you go through all this text that a client wants, like there's a client behind all of this. They send out this work to remote tasks, and it's basically English speakers. And they translate it by non-German speakers. And you have to go through it and prove that it sounds natural, that it's not a computer that created this language, basically. You know, so I had to go through all this text. And then I had to prove going and researching on Google through like showing URLs. And proving that what they're writing is factual, you know, if it's a factual text. Anyway, I don't know if you understood that, but I barely understood it. For each page that you do, it's one task. And this page, there might be, I don't know, like 25 sentences. And you have to go through each sentence, do your own research on Google, and basically show that what they wrote is correct. It's not just like I'm reading the sentence. I have to prove each sentence and find that what they're saying exists and show it with its corresponding URL. So they say it takes between 15 and 25 minutes per page. Hello, it took me like an hour. Like it took me so long. I'm going through each sentence and I'm like stressing, you know. And meanwhile, there's supposed to be this timer, like there is a timer. It basically stressed me out. There's a timer in the top left corner and it's ticking down. You know, it starts with 3 hours and the maximum you have is 3 hours for each page. And I don't know what happens after that 3 hours. Like you're probably fired because they say it should only take 15 to 20 minutes or 15 to 25. But it took me an hour because you can't stop and start. You have to do it all in one. You have to do one page and then submit it. But it took me an hour and it was so boring. I've never had a job like this where you just sit in front of the computer. I don't know that kind of job. Every job I've had has been on my feet. It's been running around. Like that's all I know what to do. I don't know how to just sit and stare at the computer. It was so draining. But then I noticed when I'm doing this, there is this button that says it's on. There's like an on and off. But the thing is, I couldn't see this button. When it's on, it means you're getting paid. So it's like $30 an hour. there was no off, like there was no button. So I was worried, okay, am I not going to get paid? And then customer service, if you have an issue, you have to send like your query and it takes a couple days for something to get back to you. So my query was, where's my paid button? Like, I don't even know if I'm getting paid. So then a few days later, they responded saying, it should be there. If it's not, we can't help you. So I'm like, okay, I can't do this. Like, I didn't, you know, I was just thinking like, okay, I don't think I'm good for AI. Like, I don't think I can do this. Today, I saw that I did get paid and I was surprised. I really didn't think I was going to get paid. But hey, you know, it's something. Anyway, I realized after that day, I just need to relax. Like, I'm doing so much. I need to finish my full-time job first, and then I need to finish packing, and then I need to move, and I'll figure it out when I'm there. You know, like some days I have sane thoughts, and then some days I'll just be crazy in my head, and then I'll be overwhelmed and think I can do everything. You know, why can't I do like 20 things in one day? Because you're human. Because you're not a robot, you know? Then I thought, okay, my membership is ending at the Aspen Recreational Center where I swim, I do body pump. Last week, it was over, and now I have to, instead of getting another pass, I just get a daily pass where you pay. But it makes more sense for me. Last week was my last body pump session with my pass that I got. So I got a yearly pass last year. It was $600 for the whole year, which is amazing. It was so nice, but now that's expired. So I did this body pump class and it was like 8 women, I want to say. You know, a lot of regulars, like I've seen them all before. And then there was one man. Sometimes it's mostly all women, but then sometimes there'll be like one guy and you'll only see that one guy the one time and he won't come back. A few classes later, you see another man and then he won't come back. We're doing the exercises, you lift weights to like dance music, and it's a really good workout. Like it's pretty intense. You know, when I say I go to body pump, people laugh because they're like, what is that? I'm like, look it up. Like, no, I mean, it's a really good workout. It's a full body workout. You lift weights to music and you can lift them as low or as high as you want, you know, but it's to the full song. So it's not just like a couple of lifts. It's like 4 to 5 minutes. And then you work every part of your body with different weights. The women are lifting. And then I see this, the one man, and he's making these like loud sounds. You know what's so funny is when women go through pain, you don't know. You don't know. Because the minute we start our period, we experience pain from cramps. Pain is a normal thing in the life of a woman. It sucks. But we don't complain about it. Okay, some women do. Most of us, it's just part of life. And you just do what you can and you don't really talk about it. You know, you just go through your day. So this man, he didn't even have heavy weights. Usually they'll be like super heavy weights. And I'm thinking, okay, are you trying to prove something? But his weights weren't even that heavy. Like my weights were heavier than this man's. And that's fine. I'm not judging if you have low weights, high weights, whatever. But what was annoying to me were his sounds. Like he was lifting it and he'll be like, ah, like, you know, making these crazy, like loud sounds. And I'm looking at these other women, looking at their faces like, are they hearing this? But nobody really reacted. Every movement he did was his loud movement. And I'm thinking, Jesus, like, stop. I was thinking about that because women just go through all this stuff and we don't complain. We just go through it. And then there's this one man and he's breathing heavy and sweating and being so dramatic. And I just thought of, it's like when men get sick, you know, when they have a cold, you'd think the world is going under because it's so dramatic. So yeah, I started with body pump. And then yesterday, I went and got a mammogram. The last time I got one, the first time I got one was 2.5 years ago. And in New York, I didn't have insurance, but they have this, it's a city insurance. It's not really insurance, but it's like, If you need something medically and you don't have insurance, there's this city plan and it helps you. Like, it pays for something that you need to get done, which is really great. You know, there's basically donors that donate to hospital programs, and then they help people who don't have insurance, which was amazing. So I got that done, and then my insurance told me I can get a mammogram and it's covered. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'll just get that. Why not? Since they say it's covered. Since my insurance ends next week, I've been trying to get this for the last 2 months. But the thing was, they wouldn't give me an appointment unless I had the disc with the prior images from my previous mammogram, which was a pain to get. So first of all, in New York, like the big major hospitals, you can't talk to anybody. It's all automated. So if you want an image, I have to send an email to this email they give. And then they send you a form, basically filling out your information, saying that I need this image and I'm releasing it. So I did all that. And then 3 weeks later, like they said they would send it by mail. It would take 10 business days max. 3 weeks later, still nothing. So I email saying, was this sent? I've been waiting for it. They messaged me back saying it was never sent because I sent the form back in JPEG versus PDF form. I'm like, are you kidding me? Could you not have messaged me saying that I needed to change it to PDF versus waiting 3 weeks or not caring at all? You know, like, I was so annoyed. So I sent it in PDF form. And then they said, okay, we sent it now. Meanwhile, I'm like, how am I going to get all this done in time? Luckily, in Aspen, because it's a small town, they were able to see me very quickly. So I went to get my mammogram done yesterday. And first of all, I was surprised. Like, this is a big hospital. You know, the way hospitals are, like, very clinical, just very like a hospital, you know, and it has two wings. It's just a large hospital in the, for this tiny town, which is surprising. I went to the like the mammogram section. I know it's not called that. I forget the name. It's like digital imaging. There you go. So I went in, and then there's this one room where they do all the mammograms, and this one lady's in charge. You know, she does, I don't know, however many mammograms a day. I'm thinking a lot. So her room was filled with boob pictures, with all these women, pro mammogram. Like, it was a really cool room, you know? And I guess I liked it because she had 100 things on her wall. Like, it just felt very non-clinical and very homey. You know, it was a very comforting room, which I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. It was just funny to me. Like, as I was in this robe, it's not even a robe, you take off everything on your upper body and they give you this, I don't know how to call it. It's like cloth. It's just like a cloth. And there's an opening in the front. Thing is, anything you go get done, it's not comfortable, right? It's not like, oh, yay, I'm at a hospital, or oh, yay, I'm at a gynecologist. Like, I'm grateful that these people exist, but none of these procedures or appointments are, like, nice. You know, I don't look forward to doing this stuff. Maybe some people do. I don't know. It's like going to the dentist. You don't like it, but it has to get done, you know? So here I am in my cloth, like, looking around the room, and there's so much to look at. She tells me, the doctor tells me to stand in front of this machine, like this imaging machine, and it's like this small table. Like, it's not a table, it's part of the machine, but you can tell she's been doing this like a long time because she just grabs my boob, not gently, like she just grabs it with two hands and just puts it on the table, on this machine. And it was very like abrupt, and I'm like, oh, like that just happened. And then what happens, this plastic thing goes down. She's doing it, like steering it, I guess. Like, she puts this plastic thing on top of my boob, and it basically presses it down flat. Like, it's not pleasant. You're just, like, getting it as flat as you can so that you can see as much as you can with this machine. And then it scans and does everything it needs to do. And then she does the same with the other boob. And she's just very matter-of-fact and just puts it there. Now I've had two mammograms. Now I don't have to contact the other hospital anymore because I have the images, thank goodness. My next image CD would have the previous mammogram and this mammogram to compare if there's any changes. So yeah, got that done. And then today, like last week I went to the dentist to get a cleaning. Like I said, I've been doing everything. I've been taking full advantage of everything. And it's not like if you have dental insurance that everything is covered. You still have to pay pretty much like half, depending on what it is. But I thought, okay, I'm going to do this now. So I went to the dentist to get a cleaning. And it turns out on my back left tooth, there was a chip. Like part of it had chipped off. And I didn't even notice it, you know. And the dentist saw it. And he said I had to come back for a composite to fill that chipped area. But a week prior to me going to the dentist, I had noticed some sensitivity in tooth number 9, which, you know, I now know the number, but it's the front tooth. It's the front tooth on the left side. So what happened was, and I think I've talked about this before, I talk about a lot. So when I was 13, I went to a Waldorf school in Germany. So I grew up in England. We went to Germany. We had already applied for the visa for the US, but this whole thing took 5 years and we knew it was coming up soon, but we didn't know how soon. So we left England and we went back to Germany for a year. And this was after the Berlin Wall came down, like a couple years later. So we went to the east side of Germany, like East Germany, in a town called Halle. And this is where my mom was born. We went there because my dad's a dental technician. And at the time, there was more work there because a lot of businesses, a lot of people had left East Germany. He thought this is a good place, you know, to make money. And we lived in East Germany for a year until we got our visa. And then we moved to the US. But in this time, none of the regular schools would take me because, first of all, we knew it was temporary, like that I would be leaving. So the only school that would take me was a Waldorf school. And if you've ever heard of Waldorf schools, it's like a natural school. Like, I don't know how to say it, but you play the guitar, you do gardening, you learn languages and math. But in your math book, you can like draw if you want. You know, it's kind of like more, it's a different school. It's like feeling. It's a feeling school. I don't know how to describe it. But they took me. So I went to this school for a year. As I'm talking to these girls, you know, I'm like 13. We're on break. So we're just talking in a circle. There's 4 girls. And to my left, there's a group of boys, maybe 5 or something. And they're, you know, the way boys are. They're just like jumping around, being idiots. like, I don't know how to describe it. One of the boys did this weird jump and twisted or tripped. And he basically landed in my face. He headbutted me, but in my mouth. Obviously, he didn't plan that. It was an accident. It was stupid. There was blood in my mouth. My tooth lowered. And this was after I had just had like 5 years of braces. You know, this was a nightmare. Like having braces for 5 years is nightmare number 1. But then having, after all that work, having this idiot jump into my mouth and ruining all that work, that's nightmare number 2. So I rushed to my dad's dentist. My dad did work for this dentist. So I went there. My dad took me and he looked at it and he said, "It seems to be alive. You know, we just have to let it be." Like he cleaned the area around it and everything. And he said, "Just keep it as calm as you can. Just leave it alone." And I did. 15 years later, I was like 27 or 28. 28, that makes sense. So 15 years later, I'm in LA. because this tooth had lowered, it messed up my bite. You know, everything has a chain reaction, right? So this tooth lowered, and over time, it affected my whole bite again. So my front teeth were getting crowded. I was grinding more. It's crazy because that one trauma changed my whole mouth again. But I didn't want to get fixed braces. And everywhere I went said, I need to get fixed braces. But I didn't want to because I was going out for acting and doing acting jobs. You know, I was in commercials and some like small movies. Granted, I was like the nurse in the background, but still, you know, I was in movies. I didn't want to get fixed braces. And all these people I went to, if you question sometimes doctors or dentists, sometimes they get upset. Some professions like to talk down to people. And if you question that, then they don't like it. You know, I was raised with dental technician parents. I went to a lot of dentists in my lifetime, and I know a lot about teeth only because my parents dealt with teeth. You know, I know more than I want to know about teeth, okay? At the time, my mom said, don't get fixed braces. Find someone who can do a Crozat. And in German, that's Crozat. Most people haven't heard of it. It's more common in Germany. It's a brace. They're braces, but they're removable. You can take them out. You can sleep with it. And during the day, you don't have it on. And it's just like simple wire, nothing crazy. I found someone in LA, and he had studied partly in Germany, so he made Crozats. I went to him for 10 months, and every 2 months, he changed the wires ever so slightly. It made my teeth like perfectly straight again. It was amazing. The front tooth, the tooth number 9 that was lower, he made it a bit shorter. He polished it a little shorter. So basically, in less than a year, I had a perfect bite again. And that was it. That's my story about my teeth. But then through stress and just living, right? Like your teeth, your mouth, it's a living thing. So based upon traumatic experiences or stress, like maybe you grind your teeth, maybe you clench. Like typically, like when you fall or things like that, you clench. You know, your whole body kind of seizes up. And you almost injure yourself more because you're tight. But it's a natural reaction. Like one time I fell after body pump and I slipped on the ice here in Aspen. And I was like, damn it. Like that sucks. Because normally when I fall like that, I have to go to the chiropractor because my back's messed up. But because I did body pump, I was warmed up and I felt great. So after I slipped, I didn't have any issues, you know, any back issues. I didn't have to go to the chiropractor because I was limber from body pump. So my point is, we think we're protecting ourselves when we're freezing up, but that's just a natural reaction of the body. But in the end, it can hurt you more. You know, it's like when you ski, you move your hips and you're relaxed, you do a lot better than if you're like tight and nervous, you know, because you're overthinking it. Like typically in life, when you overthink things, it's not good. You know, like this was me last week when I panicked and was overwhelmed with everything. Where was I going with this? So yes, I tend to, when I'm under stress, I tend to clench. Like at night, I would grind my teeth, but now I have a bite guard. And that's been very helpful because it's relieved a lot of my jaw tension. Because if you have a lot of jaw tension, you get a lot of headaches, you know, and the whole thing just spirals, right? I do what I can to help myself because pain sucks. It turns out that a week before I went to the dentist for cleaning, but then he saw that my tooth was chipped. I said, I've been having this sensitivity on my top tooth, the tooth number 9, with the trauma. You know, I told the dentist about what happened. And then he did this cold test where you put like this spray on metal and then you touch it against the tooth. And basically, if you feel that the tooth feels the cold, then it's alive, right? So he did this test and I wasn't feeling it very well. When I was drinking warm drinks, I could feel sensitivity. So he said I should go to an endodontist, which is a doctor who deals with root canals. And then I made the appointment It was like 2 weeks out in advance. And then for a few days after that, like my tooth was hurting. There was a lot of pressure. And I was reading up on Google. See, this is where you get into trouble when you read up on Google. I didn't know how you do a root canal on the front tooth. But apparently from the back, you drill up to the root and you take out the infected area, the bacteria, and then you fill it up with a composite, like a filling, which is kind of crazy, you know, but they do that with front teeth. But that's another nightmare of mine. Like, I've had so many nightmares where my teeth are falling out. Every time I look it up in a dream dictionary, like I actually have a dream dictionary. But every time I've looked it up, it's positive. If your teeth fall out, I think it's a positive thing. I don't know, I have to look it up again. But so he was saying I need to go to an endodontist. And then a couple days later, I went back to the dentist and he fixed my chip. Okay, so today I went to the endodontist. The thing is, the closest one that had an appointment for me before I moved, it was 2 hours away in this town called Grand Junction. Kind of far, but not as far as Denver, so I guess that's positive. So I went there. So what's special about the endodontist is they have more detailed x-ray machines. The x-ray machine takes a 360 view of your whole mouth, and it can basically splice your tooth in half. Like, with this x-ray machine, you can look into the tooth to see what's going on. I didn't even know this technology existed. I mean, it certainly didn't when this trauma happened over 30 years ago to my tooth. Because when I went in to the dentist, you know, he's like, okay, we're not going to touch it. And like, they never did x-rays or anything. So I got my first 360 x-ray. Because when I go to the dentist, I just get basic x-rays, you know. But here I went, and I've never had issues with this front tooth, so I never had to look at it. But this is the first time I have really saw what happened over 30 years ago, which is crazy. This x-ray machine, it does a 360 view. It is from Japan. And as it's going around your head, like, you have to take out all your earrings, nose ring, whatever, like any metal. And it's going around slowly. You're biting onto this piece of plastic so that it can take the view from the inside and the outside. And then as it's going around, it's playing this digital music, which is so Japanese. Because everywhere I went in Japan, there was just this digital music, no matter where you went. You know, if you went to the bathroom, there was music. If you were in the store, like, there was just music everywhere. So yeah, this machine played this music, and it actually was like, oh, it's playing music, you know. It took my attention off of the x-ray. And then I went to see the doctor, and we looked at the x-ray together. And you can fully see, like, I thought maybe there's a hairline fracture. Like, that's why I'm feeling sensitivity, like, 30 years later. It turns out it was a full-on fracture. Like, the tooth, three-quarters fractured. And then you can fully see, like, everything. You can see the nerves, the blood vessels. You can see inside the tooth. So what happened was, my front tooth was fractured three-quarters of the way, and you can fully see the crack. And then you can see the blood vessel in the back that is still attached to the tooth. Like, that's the only spot. But the other blood vessels, they, like, fractured off, you know, so they died. What happened was the tooth calcified, and the doctor was saying when you're young, it's more likely to heal. So the bone regrew around it, which is pretty amazing. It regrew around it and it fully strengthened the tooth. And you can see this fracture, like, it's very apparent. But what happened was the dentine on the inside of the tooth, the whole tooth, like, basically calcified from the inside. Today, like, and a few days ago, the pain started lessening. Maybe I would say for 2 weeks, I had a pressure in my tooth. And I was worried. And also, when you know something's wrong, that's all you think about, right? Or I do. Like, I overthink everything. So when I know something's off, I just think about it, like, too much, you know? But the pain started to subside, the pressure like started to wear off. And I don't know why. Like, was I particularly stressed, you know, because of the move and my life changes? Possibly. The x-ray showed that there was no infection, which is the positive thing. So he said, okay, so my tooth was fractured kind of right above the gum line. So for him to do a root canal, it's a 50-50 chance, you know, because he can't fully get to my root. He could only get up to the fractured part. He can't get beyond that because of the calcification. So he said if something were to happen in that fracture, it's a 50-50 chance that he could solve the problem if there is an infection. If he can't solve it, I have to have my tooth extracted, and that's my front tooth. That's like my nightmare right there. That's like, I don't know, my third nightmare. So he said, if the pain has subsided and everything looks okay, like the gum tissue looked good, I did feel sensitivity today to the cold. And he said, keep an eye on it. Like if the pain comes back, maybe come in again, you know, but he said at this point it looks okay. And he said he's never seen this type of a fracture and have it heal. You know, he's never seen this before, which is so crazy. It really helped me a lot to see this x-ray and to see what happened 30 years ago. But how amazing is the body that it can just take it, you know, it wasn't fully dead, it didn't fully come out, and it just healed around it. So yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing. And then when I went to the dentist before the endodontist, they were saying that always make sure that your mouth, like your jaw, you know, when you're biting down, like during the day, there's supposed to be a gap. You're not supposed to be biting down on your teeth throughout the day, which I guess was kind of weird. Like, I never really paid attention to that. So now when I feel my teeth touching, I'm like, oh, there's supposed to be a gap. You're not supposed to bite down fully. Because I think most people do, right? Like, am I wrong with that? I don't know. Anyway, I drove 2.5 hours for this x-ray. Thank goodness I didn't need a root canal. I mean, I am engaged. What if I get married and I have, like, no front tooth? Like, that's... That's so terrible. Oh my God. But I didn't need a root canal. And he said, keep watching it, you know, because he says he can't, if something is wrong with it, he won't necessarily be able to fix it with a root canal because of the calcification. So now you know like everything about my tooth. Well, the thing is, I needed to talk about it because the last month it's been like a thing, you know. And I talked to my dad and he's like, most things, when we focus on something, like overthink, overfocus on something, it's almost like you become a hypochondriac. You make it worse just by thinking, oh, is this getting worse? So he was like, maybe you're just going through like stress right now. Wait and see. And I've been taking my vitamins and all this. Anyway, and he was right. Like it did subside. So now I just have to watch the tooth. That's my wisdom about teeth. So I came back, and as I'm driving, I'm like getting tired, you know, because I've been a little bit stressed out about this tooth. I've been doing well food-wise, like not having sugar, but then I'm like starting to not fall asleep, but my eyes are getting heavy, and that's never a good thing when you're driving. So I stopped. I stopped and got ice cream, and it tasted so good. Like I sat there, and I'm just like enjoying this vanilla frozen custard from Culver's. And as I'm eating it, I'm like, oh, this is so good. You know, but after maybe the sixth bite, like the taste, you can't taste it as much, you know, but it's still comforting. I think I just needed something comforting. So yeah, I failed. I failed with the sugar. And then I made it back home. It's crazy is in Grand Junction, it's like 20 degrees warmer. You know, I didn't need a jacket. Like the sun was out, it was beautiful. And then I get back to Aspen and the snow and crazy. You know, you need jacket, scarf, gloves. So I got back home to my boxed apartment and I needed a nap. Like everything was just like overwhelming. You know, it was just a lot. Yeah, I guess today is my last day off before my last work day. This coming week, It's called Luxury Ski Week, but it's this group of 200 people. They've been coming to Aspen to this hotel for over 30 years. So everything is over the top. So for breakfast, we have to do this bread display with all these handmade, you know, Danish and whatnot, like just over the top. And most people don't eat everything, so it's really just a waste, but it looks nice. And then before, like this Sunday, it's Easter, which doesn't mean anything, you know, because I'm always working every holiday. So I'm actually really excited to stop working in a hotel and enjoy a holiday with Gary. Like, you know, I haven't enjoyed any holidays, I guess, the last 2 years, because I've had to work all holidays and see everyone else have fun. But this is kind of my last event. So we're having an Easter brunch. And I didn't know the chef wanted to do this big thing. So I put down like 6 items and he's like, no, a minimum of 12. So I'm like, fine, I'll do 30. So I did. Like, I'm doing 30 different desserts. Because why not? If you're going to go over the top, just go all the way. It's my last event. I want to do this whole selection of cakes in a traditional way. You know, like a red velvet cake, but maybe do like a design of a lamb on top, you know, with like cute Easter vibes. I want to do a carrot cake. So my carrot cake has a delicious batter with pineapple. It really brings out like the juiciness and it binds really well with the carrot and the brown sugar. I'm filling it with traditional cream cheese icing. And on top, I want to do these buttercream flowers. I'm doing mini bundt cakes. I'm doing bunny cookies, you know, so just all these Easter vibes. And this is the first time that I've actually done Easter here, because normally the hotel closes right before Easter. So I've never had to do anything for Easter here. But this year, they're not closing until May 4th. And that's normally when I travel, when there's closure. But as you know, I'm moving, which is more exciting to me because, you know, I'm changing my life. I don't know what's going to happen. And that's where I go back and forth. I go back and forth between being excited, but then also nervous, you know, but it's a positive nervous. I'm ready for the change and I'm just excited. Like, that's the big thing. So yes, this is the last week of work. And then I have a few days after that. And one of my assistants, it was his birthday. So we're going to celebrate and go to this Japanese restaurant where, and I don't know what it's called. I think it's like ice cream. It's like a matcha soft serve. And they put it through this machine and it looks like spaghetti, you know, but it's this Japanese dessert on the outside, and on the inside, it usually has like a meringue or something. So anyway, this Japanese restaurant has it and it's in Vail. So we're gonna go there and I really just want this dessert. I mean, yes, I'm sure the food is amazing and I know I'm not supposed to eat sugar, but I have to have this dessert. I just have to. When I've had it, I'll talk about it and then I'll know more, okay? So yeah, after I'm done with work, I'll figure out and pack the rest. And then that's it. It's still snowing outside. Like, it snowed a lot the other day and I went skiing. I went up on Aspen Mountain, which was a little bit intimidating because I couldn't see anything. Like, there was fog on the ground. It was sunny. But then you took the gondola up and it's like 3,000 feet up, you know, the mountain. So, I mean, the whole total, it's like 13,000 feet, I wanna say. I don't know, somewhere around there. You know, but the gondola takes you up 3,000-4,000 feet. And then at the very top, it was just super foggy. It was still snowing. And then it gets a little sketchy. It can get super dangerous on the snow because the sky starts blending in with the snow and you can't see the bumps as well. Also, when there's more snow, like, yes, you can ski better because it's less icy and it's just like super soft, you know, a nice snow. But you can't see as well. And then that's when accidents occur. I was maybe a little overcautious, you know, and everyone was just like whizzing past me. But I'm like, okay, let me just make it down this mountain. Like when I, before I ski, I'm like, yeah, it'll be fun. And then I take the gondola up, and as I'm going down this steep mountain, I'm like, oh my God, why'd I do this? Like, let me just get through this. I feel like because the mountain's right there, I just need to ski. I just need to do it because it's there. But then when I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, maybe this is the last time I'm going to do this. Like, no, but I made it down. It was fine. There's this last part of Aspen Mountain. It's called the handkerchief. I keep thinking tissue, which is the same thing, but they call it handkerchief corner. Yeah, I don't think it's called tissue corner, but I don't know how to describe it. It goes like, there's 3 points to it. And it goes down very steep. So when you're at the bottom looking up, it's very intimidating. It looks super steep. But when you're up top looking down, I mean, yeah, it looks just as steep. Like, it's even scarier because you have to go down it. And it's weird because sometimes I went down it in the past and I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. Like, this is totally fine. But then yesterday, I'm like, fuck. Like, it's so steep. It was fine. I made it down. I don't know if this is my last time skiing for a couple years. I don't know. Because San Diego, it's going to be beach vibes, you know, which I'm super excited about. I'm just excited to be in a different climate. So we'll see. And I guess I'm saying all this because, why am I saying this? It's just life is crazy. Did I know even 6 months ago that this was going to happen? Like, no. And I guess you just have to be ready for whatever. And then it was so crazy to see that x-ray. All the scars you've had, all the cuts you've had, all the trauma you've had. I mean, it leaves scars on your body, you know, and that's your life. What happens to you shapes you in so many ways, like emotionally, physically, mentally. But do you let those scars, do you let that trauma close you up? Or do you let it open you up? You know, and for me, I think it's opened me up because I know that everything is fleeting. Every time I think, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen, and then that actually happens, and you live through it, and you make your way through it. And then on the other side of it, you're like, wow, like I did that. That was an accomplishment. It helped you grow. It shaped you. And I guess the trick is don't let it close you up. Don't let it shape you in a negative way, but in a positive way. I know that my car accidents, I mean, they were near-death experiences, but it hasn't stopped me from driving a car. You know, like there's certain things you have to do and you have to face your nightmares and your trauma. And do I want to move all the time? No, I don't. But my longing for my dreams is bigger than the pain of moving, the fears and the changes. And every time I've changed something in my life, every time it's always been better on the other side. Is it easy? No, it's never easy. I've definitely, I think, proven myself that you just have to keep going, you know, keep going through whatever you're going through with an open mind, a positive mind. And I think in the end, it'll reveal itself, you know, to be in your favor. I mean, shit's going to happen all the time. But just when you think it can't get worse, it can. It can always get worse, you know? So take every day with just this positivity. Try and see the positive in everything. And I say that, and I'm not saying I see the positive in everything, you know, because some days are just crap. But that being said, sometimes it does help to just take a nap. When you're feeling really crappy, just take a nap, you know, and then wake up and hopefully you feel better. Or take a bath, go for a swim, you know, whatever makes you feel better. I want to leave you with this quote. Well, I guess it's like an affirmation that I read the other day, and it really resonated with me, you know, because sometimes I feel like, do I deserve this? You know, sometimes when something bad happens to us, we tend to be like, but I'm a good person. Why did this happen to me? You know, which I don't do anymore because I've just accepted, okay, crappy things can happen. Well, they do happen. But on the other side, amazing things can happen too. And I really feel that being here in Aspen the last couple of years has been great for me. You know, the other side of that, it's been a lot of work. It's been stress, a lot of stress at times, but it's also been amazing. I've just been able to be independent and be out in nature and travel. But also, this is, I feel like, the next phase for me. You know, I want to be with my life partner, and I'm really excited for that. You know, and the way we met was so, like, random. I wasn't even looking for that. You know, and I was, like, on dating apps, like a crazy person. I was going out with all these weird people. like one guy that kept passing out, like one guy that, I won't go into that. But my point is, amazing things happen. And I really feel like an amazing thing happened for me, and I'm excited about this move. So here's an affirmation that I read from one of my friends' Instagram story. It's, I don't chase, I attract. What is meant for me is coming to me. What belongs to me will simply find me. I release all fear and worry. I am a magnet. Which, I'm going to say that. I'm going to try and say that like 100 times a day. Because that sounds amazing. Whatever kind of day you have, do something that you enjoy doing. Do something that makes you feel good. You know, if it's like getting a perfect cup of coffee, if it's taking a bath, if it's getting a massage, if it's watering your plants, if it's painting a painting, or if it's watching your favorite TV episode, like do something for yourself and just know that good things are coming and good things will always come. You know, don't focus on the negative. See the positive. Until next time, I'm Chef KB. Thank you for listening. And the next episode after this, I'll be in San Diego. The move will have happened. And of course, I'll talk about it.